Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. This episode, along with every episode this season, is sponsored by KFC. So I'm recapping the Toronto Raptors' 126-98 win over the New York Knicks. And look, I got to say, as much fun as it is to watch Pascal Siakam do his thing and even a guy like Malcolm Miller do his thing and Terrence Davis had a good game. You know, it's fun. It really is fun to watch a 30-point game. I'm not going to complain about that. But at the same time, I just got to say off the top, the Knicks are just terrible. They are just terrible. This is a team, they played with the type of effort of a tanking team in April trying to do everything they can to increase lottery odds, except it's November. And they're just, like, not putting up an effort. Like, the whole team, it's almost kind of disgusting, really. Like, everyone plays super selfishly. Nobody plays defense. The roster doesn't fit. I don't really see how they're playing a system whatsoever. They're just kind of making it up as they go. They got lots of lottery talent. They're all going to waste, really. Like, Kevin Knox is playing garbage time in the fourth quarter against Shamori Ponds. Is that how your number nine pick is going to be out there, you know, developing? I don't think so. I just feel bad. I feel bad for RJ Barrett that he has to play on this team. I really do. Like, yes, he's in New York, and that's got to be fun, and it's exciting, and it's a big spotlight, and that's all cool and good. But I just hope it doesn't, like, spoil his career, because the Knicks don't have a track record of developing guys, and the guys that they have developed recently, like Porzingis, you know, they let him go and stuff like that, and they traded him. So it's tough. This franchise is really just one giant waste of time. But let's talk about the Raptors, who obviously played pretty well, although it's kind of funny because I would say against an ordinary opponent, the Raptors really, when you look at it, only played about 12 minutes of solid play. Like when you go between the fact that the Raptors in the middle of the second quarter there made a bit of a push, you know, the Knicks actually had an early lead in this game, which is kind of funny. The Raptors trailed by 8 after the first quarter, but the Raptors made a bit of a push in the midway through the second quarter, and they extended that effort to the start of the third quarter, maybe midway through the third quarter, and that stretch right there basically gave the Raptors like a 30-point swing that you know, erased the early deficit, gave them the lead. And I gotta say, you know, with the Raptors this season, everything comes from the defense. Like, you know, the Raptors defend and they get stops, they go the other way in transition, and that's where they are at their best. And early in the game, the Raptors got out to such a quick start. You know, they didn't really take the Knicks seriously, which, I mean, you don't really have to take the Knicks seriously. They went up 10-3. The Knicks called timeout. The Knicks actually then went on a run of their own. They took the lead, and the Raptors just, at that point, weren't playing any defense. Like, the Knicks just walked into a bunch of wide open threes, got some offensive rebounds, and it just, you know, okay, cool. Julius Randle had a bunch of those points. He is the classic selfish player in the middle of just a looter in the riot kind of type. And so, yeah, the Knicks were up early. The Raptors, you know, at that point, defensively, they weren't cutting it. And so what does Nick Nurse do? But big brain Nick Nurse goes to his janky defenses, quote unquote. He starts with a triangle and two, which is like, you know, just two guys basically getting, you know, man-to-man coverage. And then a three-man zone sort of in the middle of the paint. That really got them a couple of stops. And then from there, they transition to a 2-3 zone. Again, the Knicks were just kind of fluxed. They didn't really know what to do. You know, it definitely threw them off the rhythm. They started checking up terrible shots and also committing silly turnovers. Raptors were able to take those turnovers, convert it into transition buckets the other way. And it was kind of a piece of cake from there, really. Like, you know, just the momentum built on itself. The Raptors also incredibly hot from three-pointer. Like, they shot 21 of 41 from deep for 51%. So that's obviously an incredible percentage. Also just an incredible volume. But again, the Knicks just, they don't play defense. Like, you could just get a three whenever you want, right? Pascal, for example, got 8 threes, and he hit 5 of those. You know, OG went 3 of 5 from the field. I think from the three-point line, I think he's still above 50%. From three on the season, which is kind of incredible for a guy to do that basically through, what, a month and a bit now of the year? That's pretty damn good. You know, Chris Boucher hits two threes off the bench. Terrence Davis gives you three. Malcolm Miller. And I got to say, Terrence Davis in the first half, you know, I mean, obviously Pascal was their best player and things like that. But Terrence Davis is pretty good, pretty good in that first shift that he came into the game where, you know, within his first, I would say, 6 to 7 minutes, that's usually his first run there. Terrence Davis has set up two threes, one for Boucher and one for Siakam. He hit two layups, and he also hit two threes of his own. And just like that's just the kind of boost and scoring that you want to see out of your bench to really not necessarily juice up the offense, because I don't think the offense was actually struggling all that much, but just to, you know, put the Raptors in the lead. And, you know, Davis has just been very, very impressive. Again, you look at – I keep looking at these highly touted guys, right? Frank Ntilikina, he was a lottery pick. Tonight he had 5 points of 22 minutes. The Knicks fans really love to hype this guy. I mean, he's okay, but realistically, he's a bench guy. He's like Marcus Smart if Marcus Smart didn't play with all-out hustle, which would not be a very good player. You look at the guys that come out the bench. You know, Dennis Smith Jr., another lottery pick that the Knicks went out of the way to trade for in that Porzingis deal. Really, he was the crown jewel in that trade. And he gives up what? He puts up 2 points, a 1 of 7 shooting in 22 minutes. His jump shot still doesn't look very good. He's a nice athlete. He really is, but kind of plays selfishly. Doesn't really create for others. And yeah, and you compare that to Terrence Davis, who, again, undrafted rookie. Anybody could have had this guy. 15 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists in 29 minutes. An efficient 6 of 13 from the field, 3 of 8 from deep. It's just, you know, I said it earlier, you know, but, you know, tanking is just... Yeah, tanking just, you know, it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. I think some teams are good enough, like the Raptors, where they don't even have to tank. They can just find these kind of talents. But, yeah, I mean, I thought Terrence Davis was going to be a big boost. And I think the first half, I mean, realistically, the first half belonged to Pascal Siakam. The whole game belonged to Pascal Siakam. Pascal was awesome from start to finish, really. I mean, you know, one play that really stood out for me by Pascal, out of anything else. This is your KFC bucket of the game. I'm getting to it early. But Pascal had... On one play, he went up against Julius Randle, drove in, didn't get the foul call. To be honest, I don't even think it was a foul. I think Randle actually had position, and Pascal just kind of drove in without a plan. The play goes the other way. Pascal is a little bit late. He doesn't really find his way in the Raptors' rotation, and he kind of gets a little lost. And ultimately, he has to commit a foul. While the free throws are being shot, Pascal complains to the referee. He goes over to Nick Nurse and kind of goes like, hey, review the thing. And Nick Nurse looks up at the Jumbotron, and the Raptors happen to be playing the review. And, you know, the review just shows, yeah, it was a clear foul on Pascal. So Nick didn't actually challenge the call. And Pascal, I'm sure in that moment he was pissed. Maybe not even just, you know, at the situation, but also at himself. And so what does he do? How does he respond? He grabs a rebound off the missed free throw. He takes it to the length of the floor. He faces up against Julius Randle once again. You know, busts into his, you know, dribble moves and pulls up for three and swishes a jumper right in Randall's eye. And I just love that kind of, like, that aggressive alpha kind of response by Pascal in that situation. Look, is it a good thing to complain about a foul call and then not necessarily get back on defense? No. But at the same time, how do you respond? How do you respond after you make a mistake? And I just love that kind of mentality, that FU mentality of just... Okay, I didn't get it this time. That's fine. You know, things are going my way. I'm going to come back and I'm going to score on you. And the number of times Pascal just identified Julius Randle on a switch and attacked this guy and scored, it was actually kind of comical. Both him, both Siakam and Fred VanVleet made a point to attack Randle, who, I mean, again, it's just funny when you revisit some of the discourse. Like, from some of the people who had not watched the Raptors last season, a lot of people were saying, is Pascal Siakam not just Julius Randle? And it was just really funny. It's really funny because on the stat sheet, you might look at Julius Randle, who had 19 points and 8 rebounds tonight, and go, wow, that's not bad. 7 of 14 from the field. He hit 2 threes, which is nice because I think he's shooting like 12% from 3 on the season. What is he shooting from 3 on the season? Let me just get that exact number for you. Okay, 26%. That's not bad. That's not bad. That's better than 12. But yeah, anyway, so Julius Randle, you know, he had 19 and 8. You would think, wow, that's not a bad player. Maybe someone should go sign him. You know, it's just a difference. It's very different between what a guy like Randle does versus what a guy like Siakam does. Randle is mostly a guy that plays for himself. Definitely has crazy tunnel vision. Doesn't much play any defense, really. And then you look at a guy like Pascal who contributes across the board. And tonight, I mean, all he really did do is contribute offensively. Tonight he had 31 points in 30 minutes, didn't have to play the fourth quarter, got MVP chance at the end of the third quarter while shooting some free throws, you know, hit a bunch of threes. Very, very impressive moves. I mean, just an assortment. I mean, he just kind of toyed with this Knicks team. The Knicks team are just not up to standard. I mean, the Knicks have, what, like 17 power forwards on the roster. None of them can guard Pascal. Pascal just had his way. He just had his way. And it's almost alarming how easy Pascal can get to 30 points nowadays, right? Like, even last season when Pascal was having his most improved year, you could see some skill set. You could see the skill set developing. You could see the spin move. That's definitely a skill move right there. He was hitting threes. He had great touch around the basket, you know. But, I mean, a lot of it was, like, transition. A lot of it was off loose balls. A lot of it was in getting the right positions. And, you know, it's one thing to play and score when you got Kawhi and you got Kyle and all these guys sort of setting you up and creating offense for you. And a lot of it was Pascal's hustle and effort that really got him all these baskets. Well, this year, I mean, it's just pure skill. Like, of course, he still gives you the hustle and effort, and he still gets you those buckets. But at the same time, he also gives you 5 3-pointers, and that right there is half his scoring. And he goes 5 of 8 from deep. I mean, like, that, it's just, first off, last year, 5 of 8 from deep for Pascal would have been, you know, a once in a season kind of thing. Now it's a regularity. I mean, I remember, you know, the second game of the season against the Celtics, he already hits 5 threes. But, you know, Pascal, when you look at it this season, obviously his scoring has jumped, but the man has already had 7 games of 30 points or more. Of course, he had that 40-point game included within that that he had against the Pelicans. But Pascal's already had 7 games of 30 points or more. Last season, the entire season, Pascal was healthy for the entire year. The man had 5 games of 30 points or more. And Pascal, I mean, this is what, his 17th game, you know, 7 games already. With 30 or more, it's so impressive to watch him grow and develop. And when you see him go up against teams like the Knicks, it's not even fair. Like, he could just score at will. I already mentioned Terrence Davis. I really like the effort that he brought off the bench. You know, I like the way OG Anunoby played. He got his first career double double. He actually set a career high in rebounds with 12. He had 13 and 12. Got an assist, 2 steals. He's back to sort of just like a guy is trying to dribble or even make a pass up top, and OG just mugs the guy, takes the ball from him, and then sparks a fast break. You know, he did a lot of that early in the season, most notably against Orlando, the first time when the Raptors wore those throwback jerseys, and the court looked gorgeous and everything like that. And yeah, so OG's back to doing that. That's great. I also like the fact that OG made a point to sort of highlight and emphasize his post-up game. The Knicks tried to stash Frank Ntilikina on him, who's, you know, he's big for a point guard. He's like 6'6", 6'7". He's like a legit 6'7". But at the same time, you know, he's slender, and OG definitely had the physical advantage, and OG made a point to post him up. First time he tried it in the third quarter, the Knicks sent a double team. OG had to kick it back out. But the second time, the help came in late. OG got the ball on the low block and then just backed Frank down. And I like the strength. I like the strength that OG shows. You know, he's definitely strong enough to overpower his way. It's not necessarily the sexiest way to get a basket. It's a lot of bumping and grinding, but OG's able to move his man. He's able to move a lot of guys. The guy has got tree trunks for legs. He's really, really strong. And he's a pretty good finisher around the basket, too. Like, you know, he's a bit unorthodox. He likes to go for that reverse finish. But, yeah, OG's a good finisher. So, in my opinion, really, if you're going to expand OG's role in offense, a lot of that, I think, can come through the post, where teams are, generally speaking, going to stash a weaker defender in OG, right? Because if you got Kyle in the lineup, you got Fred in the lineup, that's already two guys you got to really deal with. And then you got Pascal to deal with. And Gasol is no longer going to guard the center, or be guarded by the center. So OG's usually going to take the weakest wing defender. And if that's the case, I'm not saying you break the whole offense so you can highlight OG Anunoby as a post-up guy, but once or twice a game, you know, you definitely want to see what OG has and if OG is able to attack that mismatch. So I like the effort and the determination that OG had on that play. And then, you know, and I'm not sure what else to really say about this game. I thought it was cool that Nick Nurse went to the triangle and two defense and the 2-3 zone. He was asked about it a little bit before the game, and, you know, obviously he's not trying to give away too many secrets, but, you know, it's definitely something that's out there. It's not obviously not a surprise. I mean, he literally pulled out the box and won in the NBA Finals, so people know to expect you know, funky defenses from Nick Nurse. But also, you know, Stan Van Gundy, if you haven't seen the clip already, did a great job of breaking it down on NBA TV. I clipped that that portion and I put it on my Twitter page, so you can find that there. But yeah, I mean, you know, Nick is just he's very creative as a defensive coach, and it's a big thing between like it's one thing to sort of just come up with ideas and put them into practice, and you know, okay, cool. A lot of people can. I'm sure you can ask every coach in the NBA, and they can give you like 5-6 different defenses. It's not like Nick Nurse is reinventing the wheel, but at the same time, not every coach can have his team execute and pull these things off effectively. Because it was funny because in the third quarter, the Knicks also went to a zone, and they actually went to a box and one, which is actually kind of cute, really, that Nick Nurse is just inspired box and ones across the league. Everyone's going back to middle school. But okay, so the Knicks went to a box and one. Well, guess what? The box and one is designed so that there's four defenders around the basket, pretty much at the edge of the paint, and then one guy starts guarding up top. So the whole point of the defense is really to A, stop a guy, but also B, to like deny anything in the paint, right? Like you're basically surrendering the three-point line almost in a way, and you're really walling up the paint. There's help defenders everywhere. And when the Knicks went to the box and won, the Raptors were able to get the ball into the middle of the floor and then play a two-man game with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson cutting literally right down the middle of the lane, and he got a layup, an open layup. And you just think about it. Like, it's you know, you can come up with schemes. You can do what you want. You can, you know, get cute. But, you know, the Raptors aren't cute. The Raptors aren't cute. Like, Nick Nurse ain't cute. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's doing this because he knows it works, and he knows that his team is drilled and trained to you know, execute the scheme. Obviously, it helps when you got, you know, great situational defenders like Marc Gasol, who's got great awareness, can organize the defense. Fred VanVleet's a very heady defender. Pascal can cover for a lot of mistakes. OG is an incredible defender. You know, Chris Boucher even is definitely a guy who you can count on to erase mistakes. And Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is also very good. Terrence Davis, honestly, for a rookie, pretty damn good as well. So right there, your top eight are plus defenders. But at the same time, Nick knows his defense can execute. I mean, like, you look at the Knicks tonight. They shot 37% from the field. 37. They didn't crack 100 points, which is very rare in the modern NBA. It's very hard to keep a team under 100. And, yeah, I mean, this is, again, but this is not a surprise. Like, the Raptors have done this to teams that are better offenses than the Knicks, but just straight-up better teams than the Knicks. But the Raptors continue to lead the league in opponent field goal percentage allowed. Tonight obviously helped that case. And the Knicks, obviously, like, they're garbage. Like, they shot so many threes, but, like, nobody can shoot. It's weird. Like, their best shooter is Wayne Ellington. Like, word, like, how could Wayne Ellington be your best shooter, man? Like, I mean, it was cute when he was on, like, Miami and, you know, came out with all those screens and moving screens with Bam Adebayo, and nobody would call them because it was in Miami and that's their quote-unquote style of play or whatever. And Wayne would, you know, annoy the Raptors. I mean, it definitely annoyed me as a Raptor fan watching Wayne Ellington. I still don't really like the guy. But, you know, now he's on the Knicks. He's the only one cutting and moving. You know, he wasn't even hitting his threes. He was 1 of 5 from the field, and all of them were threes. And, yeah, I mean, but, you know, the Raptors played great defense, forced the Knicks into 18 turnovers, got out in the fast break. You know, Pascal scored with ease. You know, Fred did his thing, had a couple of nice baskets. You know, Mark had a 30-foot bomb. Mark is, like, the best three-point-per-game scorer, three-point-per-game player in the NBA. He really is, man. Like, Mark today, for example, 3 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. Whatever, man. All the threes, but all of it effective. You know, obviously, you didn't need Mark at his best today, but he was pretty good, especially defensively. And, yeah, I mean, man, the Raptors got to 126 points, and it was so easy. They got on the offensive glass. That's the thing. The Knicks didn't succeed at any facet of the game. Like, they even got out-rebounded, you know what I mean, by the Raptors, which is kind of sad. The Raptors aren't even that good of a rebounding team. They let the Raptors shoot 49% from the field. The Raptors shot 51% from three. Raptors got 26 assists, you know, had less turnovers than the Knicks. Knicks are just trash, man. They're just a waste of time. They really are just a waste of time. The only slight, if I had to just find one thing to nitpick, which, you know, I don't want to. Obviously, this was just an easy win, and then the Raptors took care of it. Professional effort here. But if there's one thing, one small thing I want to nitpick, it was probably just, you know, Nick Nurse went to a lineup without Pascal, without Fred VanVleet, and without Marc Gasol. And that wasn't a garbage time. It was in the second quarter. low stakes, obviously. If you're playing in the Knicks, you're going to win whatever. So you might as well try some things out. But I just don't like when that lineup comes together, because when you don't have Fred, when you don't have Gasol, and you don't have Pascal on the floor, there is nobody that can be the hub of the offense and just create plays for another. You could have one of those three in. Usually you have one of Fred or Pascal in. Mark can kind of do it on his own a little bit. Obviously, he's not a scorer, but he can definitely set up his teammates. But the issue with those is just there's just no cohesion at all in the offense. Everything gets ragged, and the Raptors end up taking bad shots. No one really knows when to take over. Terrence Davis, better, I think, when he catches the ball and attacks rather than creating off the dribble, although he can do a little bit of creation off the dribble. Like, he had a pull-up three today that was quite nice. And Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, he can do a couple things, you know, with the turnaround jumper and things like that, which is, you know, surprising. His face-up game is very, very odd-looking, but it works. So good on him. But realistically, you're not going to run a great offense like that. So I think I'm more comfortable personally with one of the guys on the floor, at least one of the three hubs. And obviously, especially with Kyle Lowry out now, it's a little bit tougher. But at the same time, sure, Nick just wants to just buy a couple minutes for his guys, and so he did that. Which, by the way, the Raptors' minute management today was very good. OG had 33 minutes of play, but, you know, Pascal played 30, Norm played 21, Fred played 30, Mark played 23. Very, very balanced effort. Obviously, when you're in a blowout situation, you can do that a lot easier. But, yeah, that's honestly it, man. It's not even a real issue. I'm just saying that. Because I got to fill time. In terms of your three stars tonight, obviously the first star goes to Pascal Siakam. 31 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, 12 of 22 from the field, 5 of 8 from the field, or from the three-point line. I wish he got to the free throw line more often. It feels like he really takes a lot of contact, but the refs definitely don't call it in his favor. But whatever, he was 2 of 3 from the free throw line. 31 points, 30 minutes. Great game from Pascal. Again, it's alarming how easily he can get to 30 nowadays. Second star, I'm giving that to Terrence Davis. 15 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 6 of 13 shooting off the bench in 29 minutes. Plus 24 was just a really, really, really positive player tonight. And the spark that he gives offensively coming off the bench is really promising. And you know, I think actually once Kyle Lowry comes back, it's going to cut into Terrence Davis's minutes. But I think Terrence can play a little bit at the 2. I think he almost is better as a 2. And especially with a guy like Kyle who's going to stretch the floor and be unselfish and set up Terrence, I think Terrence is going to continue to produce once Kyle comes back. And that's around the corner, too. I mean, the Raptors kind of noted that, like, December 1st was kind of like that targeted date for Kyle. So that's this coming Sunday. So Kyle's definitely around the corner. I saw him shooting a little bit at practice, which is nice. It's actually very rare to see Kyle shoot around practice. He shoots so early that the gym isn't even open usually. So you don't usually see him, but yeah, he was out there, you know, shooting a couple of shots. So looks like Kyle hopefully is close. But I liked what Terrence provided today. And then your third star, you can go a lot of places with this. OG, I think 13 points, 12 rebounds, an assist and 2 steals. Definitely has a great case for it. But I'm going to give it to Rondé. I liked what I saw from Hustle Man Chap today. You know, he brought his own sweater to the game, which is great. I mean, that's what the Raptors do. We win games, we win championships, and also all the players have their own merch, so good on Rondé for joining that trend. But yeah, Rondé was great, man. You know, 12 points, 3 rebounds or 4 rebounds and assists on 5 of 10 shooting, 23 minutes off the bench, plus 21. You know, his defense definitely is a positive. Offensively in the first half, you know, a little bit lost. I think the Knicks definitely tried to pack the paint and dare the Raptors to shoot, and the Raptors weren't shooting that well to start. So Rondé, you know, I think was almost hurting the offense in a way, but then, you know, down the stretch, you know, second half, Rondé a couple times, you know, going ISO against Iggy Brazdeikis and getting the little jumper to fall, getting the and one jumper to fall. So I just like the way Rondé plays. And yeah, I'm a big fan of what Rondé is delivering off the bench. But honestly, even Boucher has a great chance at it. I mean, 13 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, you know, a plus 26 in 25 minutes. You hit 2 threes. Definitely stuffed the box score. There's a lot of guys that can go with it, but I'm going to go with Rondé today. Your Gerald Henderson Award. This is very difficult. This is very difficult because nobody on the Knicks played well. Randall give you 19, whatever, garbage. You know, RJ Barrett, an inefficient game. Definitely not a positive game for him. So I think I'm going to have to go with Alonzo Trier. That's right. That's the third-ranked Blazian in the NBA right now. Alonzo Trier right now, 10 points. In 7 minutes off the bench, all in garbage time. You know, so whatever. It didn't really hurt the Raptors. I didn't really mind. Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised. I don't know why Alonzo doesn't play more. He had a pretty good rookie year last year. I understand that he's probably, not as well-touted as other guys because he was also kind of either undrafted or a late second-round pick. But he can score. That guy can score. He's got some balance. He can shoot, which is, hey, man, listen, the Knicks don't got a lot of shooters. But Alonzo can shoot. And he has enough athleticism to get to the rim and do something there. So I'm not sure why he doesn't play more. But, hey, it is what it is. These are the Knicks. Nothing really makes sense. The Pat Patterson Award for the guy who did not show up tonight. I mean, I don't even know, really. Like Marcus Morris? I was actually hoping that the Raptors are going to call up Justin Anderson for just the one game. I understand he's on a two-way, so it's not easy as calling up. But Marcus Morris had the play of the season, and that was only in preseason when he bonked Justin Anderson over the head with the basketball. It's an incredible GIF/video. Go look that up if you haven't already. It's really a hilarious scene. So I really wanted Justin Anderson to be on the Raptors at least today to get a measure of revenge or something like that. But this honestly, the game ended up basically being like a 905 game anyway. Like, you got to see a lot of Shamori Ponds. Congratulations to him. He got his first basket. It came out on goaltending, but still, he got to the lane for a layup. O'Shea played 6 minutes. Boucher was out there. Malcolm Miller had snapped. Honestly, he got 13 points in 14 minutes. Hit a bunch of deep threes. I like what I saw from him. Boucher was out there, obviously. So pretty much a 905 game. And Marcus Morris tonight, he had 7 points, 21 minutes. Didn't play much defense. Took some bad shots. I don't know. The Knicks are just, again, a waste of time. And then finally, before I close the show, I actually really enjoyed that there were four Canadians on the court tonight. So obviously, RJ Barrett, third pick overall of this recent NBA draft, he played 31 minutes. 5-17 from the field, wasn't that efficient. Definitely had a slow start to the game. I mean, he got blocked by Norm Powell on the first play of the game. But he recovered, made a couple of plays. His athleticism definitely is a factor, and he just needs to sort of figure out his way right now. And that's going to be tough. The Knicks, don't have a lot around him, don't have a lot of structure, so I don't want him to develop bad habits. But there's definitely something there. He's a legit 6'8". Like, I saw him talking to Chris Boucher before the game. They're, looking at each other eye to eye. And Chris Boucher, we know, is, a solid 6'10". So that really surprised me how tall RJ Barrett is when you see him in person. But he's skilled. He's strong. He's a lefty, so that always throws people off, And he's got a great handle, and he can play make for other people. 16 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. He had a great dunk that sort of made the rounds virally. He did definitely travel. He took, 5 steps. But, whatever, man. The man's coming home. He's from Mississauga. Let him do it, man. He basically walked to square one and back with that one. But, I like RJ Barrett's game. I'm definitely rooting for the guy. I definitely fell in love with his game after he had that incredible, 37 points to help the under-17 Canada team upset the United States, which is incredible that RJ did that. If you haven't seen that, go look at the YouTube video of that. That was an incredibly hype moment to give Canada the gold. He's definitely promising, and he definitely needs to cut off a couple of things. He definitely needs to develop a more reliable jumper. I like his courage. I like his ability to attack the basket. I like his athleticism. I also, there were also, three other Canadians on the floor. There was Iggy Brazdeikis, who I think is also from Mississauga. He's of Lithuanian descent. He came off the bench. He played 10 minutes. Didn't really do much. Got schooled by Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. But still, congrats to him. He got a bit of the tribute video. Obviously, RJ Barrett got a bit of the tribute video. A lot of fans. Apparently, RJ had 300 people in attendance. So that's cool. Definitely, represent and show up for the people that, that you started with, basically. I think Iggy had a lot of people there, too, because when he came in, there's a lot of cheers for him. Of course, on the Raptors side, there was Chris Boucher and also O'Shea Brissett. Four Canadians in the game. It's not insignificant at all, really, when you think about it. And also, it came on a day where, all these Canadians announced that they will play in the upcoming Olympic qualifying tournament that's going to be held in Victoria. I think Canada bid, reportedly, $5 million to get the tournament. So they put a real investment out there for these guys to come out and play, and it's great because, you're seeing Jamal Murray lead the way, and he's saying, I'm going to announce that I'm going to play next year for Team Canada. Last year I had an ankle injury. I just signed a new contract. Couldn't risk anything, but this year I'm going to go. Next year I'm going to go. I'm going to play in Victoria. And then the day after, you see Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. He joins the team, and Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who's cousins with Shea, they both join the team. You know, Dwight Powell apparently joined the team. Dillon Brooks has always said that he wanted to play. He was in a walking boot last year or this year at the Team Canada training camp, so obviously he couldn't play. But he assuming he's healthy, he's going to play. And, you know, RJ Barrett, of course, being the biggest announcement, saying before the game today that he's going to represent Canada. And obviously, it's, you know, he also had an injury last year, so he couldn't play. But it's just it's definitely a moment. And Canada has, you know, a tough group. Like, they got to beat Greece, which obviously has Giannis. Now, Greece, I mean, I don't know. It's a little too early to talk about the international play, but I'm just saying Greece, aside from Giannis, is not very good. And Giannis is not as effective in an international setting because you can keep a guy in the lane at all times, no defensive 3 seconds, and the floor is smaller because the three-point arc is smaller, so you can really shrink the floor and make it difficult for Giannis. But yeah, I mean, they got to beat Greece, they got to beat one of Czech Republic or Turkey, and those two teams are pretty good as well. Both those two teams actually pushed the United States really hard. Turkey, if it hit some free throws, it would have just beat the United States in the FIBA World Cup, which is kind of wild to think. So it's tough, but at the same time, you got all these talents there, and Canada, you know, this golden generation has been promised for a couple years now. You know, like Canada, oh, you know, we have all these Canadian players coming up. Canada has the second most NBA players. But where are they at? Where are they at? When it comes to Olympic international play, whatever, FIBA play, you know, World Cup play, you're always getting Kevin Pangos and Corey Joseph and Kelly Olynyk. And respect to those guys. Really, respect to those guys. Like, they put in a lot of effort. Even respect to guys like Owen Klassen or Matt Morgan, guys that showed up in late notice to play in China, to play in Australia this summer. You know, shout out to those guys. But really, Canada has needed for the top guys to come up and step up for the program. And so I love to see all these guys come out. I love to see this moment for Canada where you got four guys who are Canadian on the floor at the same time. And, of course, you know, the only team in Canada is now 13-4. They are also the reigning champions, as you can see on the banners behind me. And all is good. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Big thanks to KSC for sponsoring the podcast. And I will be back after the Raptors, play in Orlando on Friday. Hopefully that's not a trap game, but it could be a bit of a trap game. We'll see.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.